FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Welcome to the happy hour here on Guardian Radio 96.9. This is Deandra Cartwright, and I am delighted that you've chosen to spend some time with me today. We, of course, on this show, only highlight the goodness that is going on in our community. We are trying our best to give a platform to those persons and organizations making positive impacts on our Bahama land. May you be here on New Providence, Anagua, Grand Bahama, wherever technology can reach you. We want to highlight you. With that said, if you are interested in coming on the show, please reach out to me across the show's social media pages. We're on Instagram or on Facebook. And of course, you can always come directly to Guardian Radio through their socials as well. Speaking of which, if you wish to join our conversation today, you can always call in at 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Toll free at 300-5720. You can also text us at 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Also, if you want to stream live, you can do so at guardiantalkradio.com. If you are willing to and want to listen to us on television, you can do so at Crazy Float Channel 612. Remember to follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Thank you again so much for joining us. Today, we have a very informative discussion. Our guest is actually zooming in all the way from Eleuthera because we want to talk about something that happened this week. Ladies and gentlemen, did you know that World Diabetes Awareness Day was this week? It was on the 14th. World Diabetes Day provides an opportunity to raise awareness about diabetes as a critical global public health issue. It emphasizes the collective and individual actions that are needed to improve the prevention, the diagnoses, and the management of the condition. This year's theme was Breaking Barriers and Bridging Gaps, which underpins the commitment to reducing the risk of diabetes and ensuring that all people who are diagnosed with diabetes have access to equitable, comprehensive, affordable, and quality treatment and care. And so, if you miss the opportunity to do so, there are quite a few persons in our country that are undertaking initiatives and programs to not only draw attention to this very critical issue, resources that are necessary for our people that are experiencing these things. So, before I get into, because I attended something this week and I want to talk to you a little bit more about it, I wanted to give an introduction to our guest, actually, and I'm very happy that she has taken the time out of her very, very busy schedule to join us today. And so bear with me because, again, she's a very experienced, very qualified individual, and I want to make sure you know exactly what her background is because we want to dive right into it. We want to hear more about what is diabetes, what is happening, and then also from somebody in the field who is undertaking that work. So joining us today virtually as our first Zoom guest, actually, is Dr. Kitty Bonnie Roll Adderley. She is a doctor of physical therapy. She is a certified diabetes educator, a member of the Bahamas Association of Diabetes Educators. She's also an integrative health coach, a herbalist with phytotherapist. So, her bio. Kitty Bonnie, known as Kitty, Roll Adderley is the only thing your health, wellness, and rehab and Exuma Wellness and Rehab in the Bahamas. Kitty graduated from the University of the West Indies School of Physical Therapy, Jamaica, in 2000 and obtained her Doctorate of Physical Therapy from Utica College, Utica, New York, in 2017. Since 2004, Kitty has been involved in an intensive study and mentorship of oncology, rehabilitation, and more specifically breast cancer rehab, where her focus has been on limiting and managing the side effects of cancer treatment, including lymphedema, and improving the quality of life of cancer survivors. Kitty became a certified kinesio-taping practitioner in 2014 and became the only Bahamian-certified kinesio-taping instructor in 2017. As she continues to grow and expand her skills, she provides a higher standard of care for the community she serves. Kitty believes prevention is better than cure and that there must be a holistic approach to the patient and the community. She has dedicated her time and knowledge to educate the public about wellness and how to manage chronic non-communicable diseases such as diabetes and hypertension. She's obtained her certification as a diabetes instructor and a herbal physician. She also serves as lead for Healthy Bahamas Coalition Physical Activity for All Subcommittee. She has launched her podcast, Recovering the Whole of Medical and Wellness Professionals, while educating the public. As a healer, Kitty is passionate about helping people improve their relationships with themselves and others. She has taken this passion out of the clinic and has co-authored 3 international bestseller books, Yes, I Can, I Did It, and Pendulum of a Mother's Love. She has served as president of the Bahamas Association of Physiotherapists from 2014 to 2018 and the chair of the North American and Caribbean region for, where did it go? World Physiotherapy from 2019 to 2012. She currently serves as an advisory board member of the University of the West Indies Open Campus Bahamas. Kitty enjoys spending time with her 3 daughters. She also enjoys immersing herself in nature, traveling and experiencing other cultures, reading, cooking, and crafting. Ladies and gentlemen, we're happy to have Dr. Kitty on with us this morning. Dr. Kitty, are you there?
I am here. Happy, happy Saturday, everybody.
Oh my goodness. Again, I'm so happy to have you. You are our first Zoom participant. And this is also what I want to showcase as well, that no matter where you are in the Bahamas, we can give you 96.9 to tell others, what are you doing? How are you helping our community? And exactly how can we help you to do that? Now, before we get into our conversation, I just wanted to read some stats that I found from PAHO, which is the Pan-American Health Organization affiliated with the World Health Organization. So diabetes is a chronic metabolic disease characterized by elevated levels of blood glucose or blood sugar, which leads over time to serious damage to the heart, blood vessels, eyes, kidneys, and nerves. The most common is type 2 diabetes, usually in adults, which occurs when the body becomes resistant to insulin or doesn't make enough insulin. In the past 3 decades, the prevalence of type 2 diabetes has risen dramatically in countries of all income levels. Type 1 diabetes, once known as juvenile diabetes or insulin-dependent diabetes, is a chronic condition in which the pancreas produces little to no insulin by itself. For people living with diabetes, access to affordable treatment, including insulin, is critical to their survival. There is a globally agreed target to halt the rise in diabetes and obesity by 2025. Ladies and gentlemen, it's 2024. I'm curious to see, where are we with those? So just a few, 112 million adults, 18 and older, living with diabetes in the region of the Americas. That's 13% of the adult population. 43 million people with diabetes, age 30 or older, are not receiving treatment. My goodness. Diabetes is a major cause of blindness, kidney failure, heart attack, stroke, and lower limb amputation. Poorly controlled diabetes increases the chances of these complications and premature mortality. In addition, people with diabetes are at higher risk of presenting cardiovascular diseases and tuberculosis, especially those with poor glycemic control. The thing is that in just 20 years, diabetes mortality has increased by over 50% worldwide. In the Americas region, it is the 6th leading cause of death and the 5th cause of years of life lost prematurely. Now, there are so many more statistics that I can share with you, but I want to bring it home. So I was just looking online, and those of you who listen to The Morning Blend on Monday mornings, you know how much I love data, how much I love statistics. So I just like finding out what we have out there. So a few years ago, and actually this is on one of our Guardian radio shows, The Live Off the Record with Shivargo Lang, we had a few doctors on talking about this. And, you know, I want to share some of what they said, only to give us an idea of what the numbers look like here. So according to podiatrist Dr. Monique Mitchell, and this would have been in 2019, so obviously these numbers would have changed since then, but just to give us an idea of what we're looking at, and the 46,400 persons, or 11.6% of the population, living with diabetes, and an additional 27,200 persons, or 6.8%, that have pre-diabetes. For a very small population, this is an incredible amount. Now, we have one of our experts on with us who's going to give us a more insight as to the situation here in the Bahamas. And then also, I want to talk to you about the efforts that happened just this week, as I said, with the Elizabeth Estates Clinic, who actually put on something that I thought that there should have been so much more coverage. There should have been so much more attention to something that has impacted. And I'm sure everyone who's listening to me right now, you either know somebody, you knew somebody, or you may be somebody that has been impacted by this chronic ailment. So just to say, so you have an idea, and maybe you were there and you can call in and let me know what you thought of the event. But Elizabeth Estates Clinic, they actually had a World Diabetes Awareness Day session earlier this week on Thursday, the 14th, which was the actual day. And they had sessions with Dr. Shalinda Dean and Dr. Javara Jones of Family Medicine. Dr. Monique Mitchell come to present on foot health. Dr. Lopez was also there. And then about diabetes nutrition, meal planning and preparation, you had registered nurses, Brittany Anderson, Sharonda Cox, and nurse intern Kay Andrews help out the public, those who attended, to learn a little bit more about what they can do. But before we get into that, Dr. Kitty, I know that was a lot, but now you have the floor. Talk to us. What have you been doing? What have you been seeing? And what should we be looking for? And I know that you're a registered educator in this area, so I want you to take us from the ground up. Because sometimes when we're sharing this information with others, we may be talking at a level that may not be that of the person listening to us. So we have to break it down. We have to build it up, break it down, whatever it takes to get the information out there. So please talk to us.
Great. Thank you so much. I'm glad that you did all of that stuff so we can get to the meat.
Exactly.
And it's so true. We show up in spaces oftentimes with our medical cap on and we start talking at people instead of talking to people. And I love our theme this year for World Diabetes Month, which is breaking barriers and bridging gaps. And barriers is anything that's impeding people from truly understanding what diabetes is. So in our culture, we talk about a touch of sugar. And usually, that's somebody who's probably has been diagnosed with diabetes, right? Unfortunately, when people get that diagnosis, they call it a touch, so that can show you really how much a lifestyle. Usually people don't get serious until they start missing toes and amputations. Or they have severe challenges walking. They have severe challenges seeing. They go into kidney failure. And all of these are late and long-term presentations of the excess sugar, that uncontrolled glucose in our bodies. And so you can imagine, as a physical therapist, that's where I'm most impacted as, or I was most impacted as. In my clinics, I would get people presenting with various forms of diabetes complications. Now, it may have been under the guise of another condition, arthritis, neuropathy, all of these other things, but I saw it so much in the clinics. And when I did my assessments as physical therapists do, we assess your body, your muscles, your joints, your nerves. Some things weren't just correlating with the initial injury that they were sent there for. And I also do in my clinic oftentimes foot assessments where I can test the sensation of somebody's foot. And I realized a lot of the patients that I was testing were coming up with what we call desensitization or abnormal sensation in the feet. And then I would ask the question, diabetes. And they'd be like, doc, what's that? And I'm like, well, that's a test where we look at your blood sugar levels. We look for a number that's called an HbA1c. And that sort of gives us an idea of how your body is processing or dealing with the glucose or sugar in your body. And you can imagine by now the eyes get wide. It's not, they're not connecting the dots, and I have to break it down to them. You may have too much sugar floating around in your body. It's not handling it very well. We need to get this test to see where you're at so we can have proper intervention. And I can tell you many times people come back with HbA1c levels 7 and above. So again, like I said, I want to make sure that I give it information that you can understand. Your HbA1c level is what we measure to find out how your body is dealing with glucose. Ideally, we want that number to be about 5.7 to 6.4%. In fact, we usually don't like it to get over 6. But these are the numbers and the terms that I want people to start thinking about. Get your HbA1c's done, because that will give you an idea of how your body is dealing with the glucose and if you have diabetes or at risk for diabetes. So that's a lot in that first little comment. So I'll step back and let you all let you digest that.
Hear a little bit more about what are the first steps? What could they be doing? But I think do also is like, what are the signs? What should I be looking for? So before I get to that point where it's like, oh my goodness, my toes are looking kind of strange. What should we be, what are the habits that we're undertaking that may be leading us to being either pre-diabetic or full onset?
Well, that you mentioned diabetes, the types we have, type 1 and type 2, right? Mm-hmm. So the majority is type 2. So I guess I'll speak more to that. Type 2 is considered a lifestyle disease, meaning that the things that we do contribute to this disease formation. And sadly, it's the things that we don't do. And the first one probably usually is physical activity. Well, between physical activity and not consuming healthy whole foods. So if you're not moving 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week, you're probably leaning towards that. You're generating a habit that can lead to sedentary behavior, that can lead to this lifestyle disease. If you are consuming food products, and I want to make a big distinction, in a lot of the stores now, we don't have food. We have food products. Oh, sorry, we have food, but we have more food products. So food is what it looks like when fruits, vegetables, hopefully they haven't been modified too much, grains and water, maybe coconut water. Mm-hmm. If it comes in a box or plastic, it's processed, it's a food product. And lots of food products carry additives. And probably one of the most common additives besides salt is sugar. So what we have now is a bombardment in our diets of food products containing high levels of sugar. And so, you know, you think of sugar probably like in a spoon, pouring into a cup and mixing tea, but almost everything has sugar, even ketchup. Ketchup is loaded in sugar. So your condiments, your snacks, your whole meals, and a lot of empty calories and lots of sugar come in our drinks. We grab for a soda. We grab for some of the sports drinks. I won't even talk about the energy drinks, the juices. So we're bombarding our system with sugars.
And that's the Bohemian diet right there. I think we should just dissect that for a moment. Our diet itself, culturally, we eat very richly. we eat food that's very fat heavy, that's very starch heavy. At the clinic's presentation, they did a visual, and I thought that was very helpful because a lot of the participants who are, for the most part, were elderly folks, and they were not necessarily consistently sensitized as to food portioning things, but also what is the sizes and the amounts of foods that you should be eating. And when I tell you, for cheese, when they said it was a fingertip amount, the room was just shook. And then they had a visual demonstration. And one day, you know, when we become a little bit more visual, I know that those tuning in online can see me. But they started to demonstrate just how many grams of sugar, as you said, in the energy drinks, in the juices. And everybody knows if you having your tuna and grits in the morning, you want orange juice to go with that. If you ain't having your coffee or if you ain't having your tea, most likely you want juice. You always would be always like juice, right? But when you look at the nutrition panel on there and you see that it has 30 plus grams of sugar, 40 plus grams of sugar, what does that mean? 4 teaspoons of sugar is a gram, if I recall correctly. You can imagine, and they did the visual where they literally took the teaspoons and they kept going, and it almost filled up an 8-ounce cup for some of those drinks. We are drinking so much sugar, and you said something powerful with ketchup, how much sugar is in ketchup. And then when we consume the versions that don't have sugar, we're like, oh my goodness, it doesn't have the sugar. But are we actually looking at the impact of so much sugar and where it's coming from? Even in our salad dressings, if you're trying to be healthy and then you go and pour your Thousand Island on that, man, I have a healthy salad, but you know how much sugar inside those things?
Exactly. So this is why we encourage people, number one. So you said a lot of great things. So I would say try and eat foods that look like it came out of creation, right? Mm-hmm. Out of nature as much as possible, right? And then try and make your own food. We've gotten very used to instant meals. And the challenge with instant meals, again, for them to stay instant and survive the shelf like the life that we needed to survive, they have to put these additives and preservatives in it. So try as much as you can to prepare your own meals. And even down to salad dressing, right? We have this term that we talk about, sweet, right? We know what that means. We have our taste buds have been geared over the last 100 years to be sweet. If it's not sweet, it tastes bad. That's just it. Either it's sweet or it tastes bad. It can be a little sour, a little pepper, but even still, we want some sweet with it. So we need to retrain our taste buds. I love Ayurvedic medicine because they always talk about you must have the bitter, the sweet, the sour, and the salt. You need to have those balanced. And so if you're making your salad dressings, olive oil, a little bit of balsamic vinegar, there you go. That's all you need. If you wanted a little sweet, probably crush a little bit of guava, fresh guava if you have it, a little, get your berries fresh and you squish a little bit of berries. But you know exactly what you're putting in it, and you can see that there's no sugar in there outside of the fruit, the sugar of the fruit. So we have to be more mindful in the way we prepare our food, the way we choose to purchase our food, and what we consume.
Oh, that is powerful. And then when we're looking at water intake, things that we drink, how frequently we drink, because they also touched on that during the clinic about the amount of alcohol that we consume. We have the holidays coming up, and, you know, we like 2 meats on our plate. We want it heavy with that peas and rice. Personally, one of my favorite dishes is peas and rice, coleslaw, and macaroni. And I know what happens to my body when I eat that. And I exercise 5 days a week. So if these things happen to my body, my goodness, what's going on with others? But we got so much into the food talk. I just wanted to go right back. What are some of the, give us examples of what are some of the, and outside of us maybe not eating the right things, what are some of the other factors that may lead to us having diabetes, or I would rather, and what are some of the symptoms we should be looking for that should tell us, hey, I need to go see a doctor like right now?
Let's start with the symptoms. Because I think we need to pay attention to that a lot more, because some people may be experiencing that. One of the cardinal signs is what we call the stocking and glove presentation of numbness and tingling. So if you have numbness and tingling in both hands and both feet at the same time, that's a sign that you may have some neuropathy going on. And neuropathy is happening because the nerves and the blood vessels that serve the nerves could be damaged by the high amount of sugar in your body. Other signs are frequent urination, frequent thirst, rapid weight loss or weight gain, lethargy, feeling very, very tired, feeling very, very, very fatigued, dizziness, lightheadedness, dizziness, blurriness in vision, if you have vision challenges, sexual dysfunction, if you're having erectile dysfunction, difficulty choosing an erection, if you're having changes in your sensation in your pelvic region, those are some of the signs and symptoms of diabetes that are often overlooked.
Now, that's I think persons hearing that may be experiencing, some persons may have experienced one or two of those, some of those, a lot of those. So what's the next steps for those symptoms?
Well, the next step should be going to see a primary care physician. So usually when I give my presentations, one of the questions I always ask is how many of us have had our annual for the year? How many of us have visited our physician for the year for the medical checkup? And I can tell you, I just did a presentation last week, and possibly 40% of people raised their hands. So that means 60% of people that I spoke to in that room did not have an annual for the year. We're in November. And the importance of an annual is to ensure that your physician is paying attention to your health progress. And I say health progress because we want our health to progress, right?
Right.
And part of that is screening. And so screening is so important. And screening looks like having your annual blood works done. And I'll go right back to that number where we talk about your HbA1c levels. Mm-hmm. If that's done every year, we can monitor the way your body is processing your blood glucose. So if it's holding steady, perfect. But if you notice that the number has gone up, then that's a red. So encouraging everybody to have an annual. And then if you're seeing these symptoms that we just talked about, and I neglected to talk about the poor healing wounds, that's also one of the signs that we see. If you have a wound that takes very long to heal, sores on your skin, yes, get to your physician as soon as possible so they can do some testing and screening to see what's causing you to feel the way you're feeling.
Oh, that's very powerful. Now, I want to talk a bit more about your background. You were telling me that the educators group has merged with another group. So talk to us a bit more about your groups, plural. Let us know, what are some of the awareness raising efforts that you are involved with to get the word out there about identifying symptoms and trying to find help?
Right. Thanks. So there is the Bahamas Diabetes Association. Eugene Thurston was the head, the lead of that. And unfortunately he passed away about 4 or 5 years ago. And somehow the momentum of the association was lost. The Diabetic Educators, or the Bahamas Association of Diabetic Educators, we probably, most of us at one time or the other, were contributors to the Bahamas Diabetic Association. So our current president, Lindy Anna Rami, she decided that what she would do is see if she can bridge the two organizations together, since we were both, like, each one of us had one foot in and one foot out. And so that's what we've done. We've heavily manned by educators, and we're also trying to keep the Bahamas Diabetic Association afloat. So the most important thing about what we do as educators and as the association, of course, it's in our name to educate and to create awareness. And again, I want to say thank you so much for inviting me and giving me the platform, this platform today. As I'm speaking now, our president, Lindy Anna Ramming, is at the insurance fair. There's an insurance fair in Nassau where their focus is on diabetes awareness. And so you can imagine, if we're trying to educate in all these little pockets, there's a strain on manpower. And so having platforms like these, hopefully it's recorded and it's held somewhere in space and we can ask somebody to click the link that they can go back and get.
Oh, definitely. Just to say, every single episode of the Happy Hour is available on Guardian Radio's website. So we can always share these. And what we try to do also is take clips from the show and have them across social media so that we can reach as many persons as possible.
That's beautiful. Shows, because there's a lot of information out there, but is it relatively customized to the Bahamian population? Having Bahamian educators talk to the Bahamian public in our own language to talk about where our resources are located, I think is so powerful, but equipping people with the information and narrowing that gap and bringing those down those barriers of access and knowledge. So, you know, we work pretty hard. There are times when there's a call or we need somebody to go to this radio show. And I want to say that this is more, all of us are volunteers. We all have our full-time jobs and families and other obligations to our social and civic organizations. So this is a labor of love. But we understand how much diabetes is impacting our population and the quality and quantity of life we have. A large population of people going for kidney dialysis. And whilst not all may be from diabetes, diabetes can lead to kidney failure.
Yes.
So that's a very unfortunate side effect of diabetes, uncontrolled diabetes. We have people sustaining vision issues, right? Mm-hmm. And so now we have visual disability. That also is a big strain on their lives. That decreases the quality and the access that they may have. We have other issues when we stay on the topic of disability, people losing limbs. That's another issue. They are not as mobile as they are. And we're trying really hard, when I say we, the advocates in the community, really hard to try and get our country to conform to more accessible spaces, accessible services. We understand the challenge of accessibility for people living with disabilities. So if we can do anything to prevent and retard these disabilities becoming more prevalent, we will do it. We want good quality of life.
No, and that is so important. We're going to pick that up on the next side of the break. How do we ensure a better quality of life in the ways that we can with these preventable issues? Stay tuned here to the Happy Hour with DeAndra Carter on Guardian Radio. We'll be right back.
Loans I had were so overwhelming. Fidelity's debt consolidation loan combined all my loan payments into one easy payment with a built-in savings plan that pays me unbeatable interest. It's time to make that move to Fidelity. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good-for-nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store, install, and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons?
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this out. app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing, just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas, so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried it the other day, and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
One in every four Bahamians face some level of food insecurity. AML Foods remains committed to helping. And this year, through our Feed 5000 program, we'll donate $30,000 to provide holiday meals to families in need. But we need your help. From November 4th to December 18th, show your support and donate at the register at Solomon's, Costrite, Fresh Market, Exuma Markets, or Domino's Pizza in Nassau, Grand Bahama, or Exuma. Together, let's put an end to hunger.
You do coffee your way.
Double shot, decaf, cappuccino.
Light roast, Colombian, no milk.
You do vacations your way.
Hiking boots, tent, mountains.
Five-star hotels and theater.
And now insurance your way.
Online. Email.
Chat.
WhatsApp.
Or in branch. For home, car, travel, boat, or business insurance, do it anyway with NUA Insurance agents and brokers. Visit NUAinsurance.com, call, or stop by a branch today.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And we're back here with the happy hour on Guardian Radio 96.9. This is Deandra Cartwright, and I'm delighted to have you join us. And if you were here before the break, that you stay to hear the remainder of our talk about diabetes awareness here in the Bahamas and efforts that are happening to draw attention to this chronic illness that faces so many persons in our society. Joining us today is Dr. Kitty, who has been telling us a bit more about what to look for, how may we be able to counter it. And just before the break, we were exploring, well, what does it mean to talk, what does it mean when you evolve from having diabetes to perhaps having a disability? We were talking about how diabetes can actually possibly lead to blindness, loss of limbs, but then what happens to us when the society may not actually appreciate those who have disabilities that may be arising from diabetes or just generally speaking? Now, I know that we're going to talk a bit more about that in depth at another time, and we want to get back to our conversation with Dr. Kitty, but we really want you to think about this. How do we treat those who are differently abled in our society? We're going to go right back into our conversation with Dr. Kitty. She's going to tell us a bit more about functional diabetes, her program that she has, but also about the Rotary Diabetes Fall Prevention Initiative and the plan to get that off the ground. Now, we also got a text message. Somebody is asking, is Tropicana 100% orange juice loaded with sugar? So again, we love numbers. So I brought up the nutrition labels that it's on the majority of packaged food products. So according to this, this is a bottle of Tropicana juice, orange juice, that's the 10 fluid ounces container, serving rather. And from that, and of course, when you buy a bottle of juice, it's very unlikely you're only going to drink half of that bottle or a portion of that bottle. We like juice a lot, generally speaking. So in a serving size of 10 fluid ounces, you have 28 grams of sugar in juice from Tropicana. Pick up any bottle or can of juice, look at the label. It's going to have 20 plus grams of sugar. I guarantee it. Even a lot, and I'm sure Dr. Kitty could corroborate this, When you're looking at, say, cranberry juice, apple juice, a lot of these juices, they're only 10% juice. So you're not actually drinking juice. The only true juice you're going to get is if you press those juices yourself. That's why they're going to have a lot of additives in it. And right, she was mentioning whole foods being the best way to go forward. But then that also leads us to a conversation that we may not be able to have during this show about food security and what does that mean? What are we producing on our own in order to have access to whole foods and be able to afford those, especially given the recent study about how much we actually need to survive? But Dr. Kitty, please, let's get back into the conversation. Functional diabetes program, what does that mean?
So functional diabetes, remember, I'm a physical therapist first and foremost, and the physical therapist's role in healthcare is to make sure that people function at their maximum ability. So I'm always looking at the way somebody moves, how they do their tasks, how they just take care of themselves. And as we talked earlier, we talked about the side effects and the impairments that can come along with the diabetes, right? We mentioned the numbness, the tingling, the neuropathy. There's a lot of pain sometimes. These things can lead to poor balance. There's swelling, difficulty walking, difficulty holding their things. And so people living with diabetes were having challenges functioning. And I wanted to make sure that as a physical therapist, we target that. And so my functional diabetes program is called the STEP program. And STEP is an acronym for screening, treatment, education, and prevention. So we talked earlier about going in and getting your blood test done to find out what your HbA1c levels are, know what your levels are. Then for treating, we treat what we see. We try to improve any impairments that we have. E stands for educate, what you and I have been doing all along, and all of this leads to prevention and the other tips that we can give to prevent diabetes from progressing, or even we want to reverse diabetes. Before, we were afraid to say we can reverse diabetes. I think we've gotten more emboldened to say that now, that the role of a diabetic educator is not just to help you manage your diabetes, but also to help you reverse it. And so this program looks at your physical ability. What are the challenges that you're having? And then we highlight that and we create a specific treatment plan to help you with that. It's all about keeping you as functional as possible, as mobile as possible, and giving you the support and care you need, not just from a physical therapist aspect, but as a diabetes educator, being your coach along the way to help you reverse that program. And we've gotten a lot of good results just creating the forum for education. The people know that there are resources there, not just to talk about the diabetes, but talk about the way the diabetes is impacting their life on a physical level. Mm-hmm. And so I would encourage anybody who's having any challenges with what we're speaking about now to reach out and make sure you get help. We always talk about early detection and early intervention. They give the best results in terms of function and quality of life.
And I think one of the key messages that we have spoken about throughout the duration of the show is prevention is important. It's critical. Timing is critical. So you want to check out what's going on with your body. If you are displaying symptoms, you need to see a medical practitioner so that you can have the guidance that you need. And you have resources out there through the educators, as you've heard from Dr. Kitty, and also from the healthcare system as a whole. Getting yourself checked on the regular is important so that you can do your best to prevent certain things that could actually be preventable, and also to maintain what you may already have. The key is we want a long life. So how do we get there? Now, Dr. Kitty, you had mentioned that there's possibly going to be an initiative with the Rotary Club about that.
Yes, I am a member of the Rotary Club of South Ocean, and we are a very service-oriented group. We want to be impactful and create sustainable programs to help our general population thrive. And one of the projects that we have on the table, we're about to launch in 2025, is a fall prevention balance assessment program. And what we're going to do is we are going to have a forum of education. Now, the target population is people living with diabetes. However, Anybody who has any challenges with their balance and difficulty walking, we welcome you to come. So stay tuned to that. Like we were talking, DeAndre, a lot of us are living with diabetes and don't know because we've not done the test to realize. Or there are also a lot of other neurological conditions that are popping up, that autoimmune lifestyle associated conditions that impede or impact people's balance. We do not want further complications. So if we can prevent you from falling and give you a structured avenue of improving your balance, improving your ability to move safely, we will definitely encourage you to be more physically active, which is one of the greatest tools of fighting chronic non-communicable disease and cancer. And so with this forum, we're going to have people come in, we're going to educate them, and we're actually going to screen them and stratify them in terms of risks, and they will get a program to go home with. We want this program to be sustainable. So every 3 months, we're going to have another session where past participants can come in and we can retest them, and new people are welcome to come in and join and be screened. And this will definitely create, I think, one awareness about some of the side effects and complications of diabetes, but also create a continual educational forum and create access to care with sound resources available to the participants and the general public.
That sounds beautiful, and an opportunity to get even more of the partners that are already on the ground working, but also to access those persons in society from the public who may be wanting to see this sort of program. So we commend the Rotary Club of South Ocean for proposing this initiative, and we're hoping that there are persons listening in that would love to be a part, would love to support. And in that case, Dr. Kitty, how can they get in contact with you?
Well, with me, you can find me at Handling Your Health, Wellness, and Rehab. We're on social media post. My cell phone number is 242-427-5820. So that's area code 242-427-5820. You can find me at Handling Your Health on West Bay Street, Cable Beach, in this green two-story plaza. It's called Henrietta Collette, right on West Bay. As well as, I said, social media. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. So you can find me that way. The Rotary Club of South Ocean, we have a very dynamic and interactive Facebook page as well. So if you go on Facebook, just look for Rotary Club South Ocean, and you will be able to reach us there as well.
Oh, that's fantastic. Now, as we begin to wind on our show, and of course, time flies so much when we're talking about these things, I fancy. I just want to say thank you again to Guardian Radio for permitting me this platform to actually talk more with persons in the community. But Dr. Kitty, what are some tips that you can give folks as they take in what you've shared today? How can they move going forward, breaking these barriers and bridging gaps? And I know that we actually, you'd mentioned it in your initiative, but would you give a word of encouragement to the persons that are caregiving to those persons with diabetes, that are helping them to adjust to a life with diabetes, that may need to hear that encouragement today?
Thank you so much. I completely forgot one of my hats.
You have many hats.
I serve as lead for the subcommittee of the Physical Activity for All Subcommittee for Healthy Bahamas Coalition.
Okay.
That is an entity that was mandated or encouraged to be implemented from a CARICOM meeting in the early 20s. 2000s, oh gosh, the decades are moving so quickly. Anyway, the Ministry of Health has established the Healthy Bahamas Coalition. And I say all that to say is that November is National Caregivers Month.
Oh.
And I am actually conducting a three-part webinar series for caregivers. So last week, Tuesday, we had our first session, which was managing stress for caregivers using exercise and physical activity. So that was the first one. It is on the Facebook pages, so you can go and check it out. But actually, this Tuesday, we are doing fall prevention and injury prevention for caregivers.
Nice.
So as you talk about tips for caregivers, get your information. a lot of our caregivers are not trained formally. They're doing it out of love and out of necessity because it's usually a loved one that the part-time caregiver role. So please seek out the resources, ask the questions, find out who can help you take better care of your loved one. And, you know, caregiving is across the spectrum. So you may have somebody who may be visually impaired. You may have somebody who may be immobile. One of the complications of diabetes, uncontrolled diabetes, can be a stroke. And we know the variance, the severity of strokes can be from somebody who had a mild stroke, got up, shook it off, and went back to normal, or for somebody who can be completely incapacitated and confined to bed, not able to move on their own. And so it's such a broad topic. But the one thing I want you to know is ask the questions, seek the resources. I am a resource, so you can reach out to me. And like I said, please follow us for these webinars that we're having. And so that's what you need to do. We need like a series of shows, DeAndre, to cover this. Mm-hmm. But I really feel that caregivers are not given the attention and the education that they need. And we're creating the space for that now. So I know that's a very broad answer to you, but yes.
No, that's actually very perfect. And just to reiterate, those webinars that you are hosting, they are virtual and they are free.
I haven't posted on the clinic's webpage, Facebook page, as well as I think they're posted on the Healthy Bahamas Coalition's page as well. They should be. Mm-hmm. And so you can click the link and register. It's a Zoom, but we had to run it on Facebook Live because there was so much interest as well as so many people wanted to be there and could not be there. So we wanted to make sure that we put it out there and make it evergreen so that people who weren't able to be present for the presentation could still have access to the information.
Oh, that's incredible. Thank you so much for doing that. Again, as you said, a lot of these efforts are out of love and also for taking care of the caregivers because they give so much of themselves to others. And we just want to highlight their importance. So happy Caregivers Month. And hopefully we can have more activities to highlight their importance as well as all the work that they do. I just want to say thank you again to Dr. Kitty for the information. Please be in touch with her. And as we move to wrap up the show, I wanted to actually read, Dr. Kitty, did you have any closing words before I read this proclamation?
I just want to say thank you again to you and the Guardian. I also want to say to the people out there who are listening or who may listen to this, ask for help. Ask the questions. There are resources here. We're growing in numbers, but I don't want you to feel like you're struggling living with diabetes on your own or a caregiver struggling with somebody who doesn't understand. Trust me, we understand. Reach out to us so we can help facilitate and help you through this process. And to all of my healthcare workers and lay people who are doing the labor of love, helping to improve the quality of life and the happiness of people living with diabetes, we give you a sincere vote of gratitude. And at that, I yield.
Thank you so much, Dr. Kitty. You have been amazing. I'm sure that everybody listening in has been educated and informed, and hopefully this will help you along your journey to being the healthier you. You've heard so much about that maybe out there. I hope you all sign up for the webinars that are available with Dr. Kitty and her clinic, as well as other avenues that can help you manage or even prevent. So thank you again, Dr. Kitty, for that. Now, I know that today's date is the 16th of November, and I wonder if persons saw the proclamation this week, and I'm going to read it again next week so that we can all be aware, because it's not happening this coming week, but the following. But I just want us to be prepared, get in the spirit, and I want us to say thank you to the people who are doing the work in the community. So just in case you actually missed it, and this isn't published on social media, a lot of the community service groups are actually sharing this information as well. But I wanted to use this show to just draw to your attention. So forgive me if I read the entire thing, because this is something near and dear to my heart. Obviously, with this entire show, you hear it every day that you tune in to this show. So, whereas community service plays a vital role in strengthening the bonds of our society, uplifting the spirits of our people, empowering individuals, and fostering unity across neighborhoods and towns, and whereas the generosity of time, effort, and resources by citizens who engage in community service projects greatly enhance the quality of life for all, supporting the most vulnerable among us, and promoting a culture of empathy, collaboration, and active citizenship. And whereas volunteers, organizations, and civic groups continue to demonstrate a profound commitment to making the Bahamas a better place to live. And whereas during National Community Service Week, we encourage all citizens to join hands, engage in acts of service, demonstrate our collective strength and goodwill, and reflect on the value of giving back to our communities, recognize the selfish work of volunteers, and recommit ourselves to creating a more just, compassionate, and thriving society for all. Now, therefore, I, Philip E. Davis, Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, do hereby proclaim the 25th to the 30th of November, 2024, as National Community Service Week. So this is dated the 6th of November. This just came across my socials this week, and I wanted to truly share this with you all so that you can get involved for National Community Service Week if you're not already involved, but also, you know, continue to do so. But let's highlight and support and encourage those that are in this, that are doing the work to improve our communities. This is DeAndra Cartwright. This has been the Happy Hour here on Guardian Radio 96.9. We thank you for tuning in. Looking forward to having you next Saturday. Stay tuned for the rest of our programming. We're going to have Miss Stanya Davis on. Tell it to Stanya. Stay tuned.